I always love doing these, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun on this one because we've got questions for the president and COO of the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, Randy. I got to say this in my head, Posse, Prossy, Randy Prossy. Welcome
Hey, thanks for
in.
having us.
Well, I appreciate it, and last year was my first time at the Bourbon Festival, and it was a blast. It was so cool to see all the distilleries, the people, and just being able to have conversations with so many different folks that love bourbon, and have real in-depth conversations. So I kind of understand what the Bourbon Festival is, but for those unfamiliar, what is the Kentucky Bourbon Festival?
That's a big question to start off with here. Not going to warm me up a little bit. What
No, we
is
just
the Bourbon
dive right
Festival? No,
in.
that's cool. The way I try to explain it for the people that haven't attended, and I will make an assumption, maybe incorrectly, but if you've ever been to a craft beer festival or a wine festival, the object is that you come into the venue and you see multiple breweries or vintners that are sampling their product, and the idea is, at least on the wine festival side of things, if you like that, you can buy a bottle, you can buy a case, you can buy 2 cases, put it in your car, and take it home. And the new Bourbon Festival is like that. So I will say new because for 30 years, this is our 33rd year, so for 29 years, let's say, the Kentucky Bourbon Festival was more of a community fair festival, street fair. Car show, hot balloon glow, bouncy houses for the kids, a beer garden where you could go and crack an ice cold beer and walk around, and some music. And we had distilleries, but they weren't sampling or selling their goods. They were setting up these little cabins and things like that, which were really cool, but they were selling dry goods. They were selling their hats and shirts and things like that. But the laws have changed over the last 5 years to now. We went from 11 distilleries in 2019 to 55 distilleries this year, and over half of them are the craft and kind of the up and coming emerging brands. So what I've tried to create here is a balance between all of the big names, the legacy brands that you know, and then hopefully when you come after your 3 day experience, you've discovered some distilleries that maybe you hadn't heard of before, or you've heard of them but you hadn't had the opportunity to sample. So it's 55 distilleries, and if you do the math, the craft distilleries are all doing at least two SKUs, and the larger, your Jim Beam, Four Roses, Heaven Hill, Maker's Mark, they're doing 6 to 8 different sample brands, different SKUs during the weekend. So all in, you've got 200 different, expressions and products that you're going to be able to sample and buy. So the laws have changed. So now those distilleries are selling their bottles, and you're taking them home with you, which was, it's a game changer for everybody. So if you've been last year, like you were, you see that experience. If you haven't ever attended, I just want to set that expectation of it's like a wonderland for the bourbon enthusiasts. You walk in a rickhouse. We built a miniature rickhouse full of 60 barrels, so you immediately when you walk in our main gate, you're transitioning into a really cool and experience. But then the world is just, it's a playground there. So but it's a 21 plus adult playground, so you don't have the kids in the strollers and the kids running around and tripping on everybody. It really is a serious 21 plus bourbon experience, but it's a lot of fun, as you hopefully you experience.
Well, absolutely. I will be back this year. I love to get these little guys, little Glencairns that you get to take around and sample. And you talk about the amount of distilleries that are there, but I also know this year you've worked on expanding space. You guys have worked on getting more of those craft guys in there. So what new additions for someone like me that went last year will I get to see this year?
Well, and we always keep you in mind. Like, what can we change on the event so people coming back don't get bored with the same experience? And I always liken it to when I was a parent of my son, the museum that I went to in third grade, and now I'm the parent guardian riding along, and it's the same museum, and it just, I'm like, that turns me off. So we work really hard to keep the things that we know that you want and what the distilleries want. And I always say this, and I make no apologies, our customers, you, the guests, are always going to be second because our distilleries are first. And I'll tell you in a second why I say that. But if the distilleries are happy and keep coming back and keep upping their game, and they keep competing with their neighbor distilleries, then the consumer in the end is the net winner on that thing. So what we're doing this year for you coming back, last year we added food trucks. So there was a church parking lot right next door that was had 15 food trucks in it. We've moved the food trucks out onto the street right across, right at the main entrance of the festival. That's Fifth Street for anyone that's going into Bardstown. We now have them all along the street opposite the main entrance, and it'll be open to the public again. So even if you don't have a ticket, you can still come in and at least enjoy the food trucks and get a bite to eat. But that church parking lot now is going to be all of the bourbon marketplace. So all of the vendors, the reclaimed barrel furniture, the honeys, syrups, candles, all those kind of things that are bourbon themed that you can do shopping. The media tent that was new last year has moved into that parking lot area. And then the great tent, which is where we do our premium distillery showcase events, and we do five of them during the festival, that's all also going to be there. And what that has done is allowed the actual grass lawn area on in front of the City Hall and in front of Spalding Hall more distilleries. So we have more distillery space. We're expanding the craft area. So that whole area where the craft distilleries were sharing with the marketplace vendors, that is all now the craft distilleries. So the main stage with the Bourbon 30 show is still going to be there, a whole new line of programming. That whole area now is going to be craft distilleries. And then on the main lawn where the larger mid and large size distilleries, a lot of them are splitting out. So I'll use Woodford Reserve and Old Forester as an example. They had one tent that they split. This year they're each doing their own activation. We've been working with like Heaven Hill will be there again, but the Evan Williams Experience, they're splitting off and doing their own brand representation. So it's really getting into that where the one 20 by 30 foot tent can't contain some of these brands, so they're splitting off and doing brand specific activations. So again, at a glance, I think the per if you come in and you can't find what you're looking for, you're not looking close enough. So I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to do is grow the footprint, but not just to for the sake of growing it, but to make more room for the distilleries to really be on display.
I love that because I spend a ton of time in the craft area just because, like you said, those guys we might not know, and it's a real cool way to get up close and personal with the distillers and the people that have created those. And another cool thing that you guys have this year is a Kentucky Bourbon Festival first, and it's a two-story tent structure with the store on the first floor, the cigar lounge upstairs, so you can do some enjoy a cigar and also maybe do a little people watching,
Yeah,
right?
and I mean, when you can't go out, you got to go up, and that's what we're doing this year. And thanks for bringing that up, because that is probably going to be one of the more visible new additions this year. The thing that we really like, I mean, obviously we know in Kentucky, bourbon and cigars, and then you throw horse racing in there. That's part of our culture. So I can bring two of those three things together at the Bourbon Festival. But not everyone is a cigar enthusiast. Some people are offended by the cigar smoke. Some of the distilleries I'm learning is really a polarizing topic. Some embrace the smoking culture, and others are like, we don't really want to have cigar smoke within 50 feet of where we're trying to do, our sampling and tasting experiences. So we thought, well, let's create. People like to people watch, right? So second floor, the railing, the balcony, you can stand up there and people watch over the festival. You can enjoy a cigar with your friends. And I think the part I'm most excited about is not only is it going to be open to the public, but in on the second deck, we're creating three 10-foot by 10-foot smoking suites. So you and five of your friends can rent that, reserve a suite for an hour. You come up and you'll be greeted with a welcome cocktail. There's some little, goodies that we're still trying to coordinate. But sit there for an hour with your friends and people watch like front row and have that experience, and then go about your business. We're open for 6 hours, so if you take an hour out of that day to sit up on the second level and have a that vantage point with some friends and a good cigar, I think that's a pretty good add-on for your overall vibe of what we're creating.
I love it. I love to see, like you said, you're always finding new ways to make sure that everyone that's coming back has a cool, different experience, and also those that are getting there have an amazing experience.